Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 273, episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Thursday, February 2nd, 2023. It's Black History Month.
Yes.
It is
2-2-2-3. I'm doing it more like the dance hall siren. But 2-2-2-3 or 2-2-2-3. But see, that's you're from Europe and I'm from the dance halls of Jamaica.
You are from the dance halls of Jamaica.
But it's also National Heavenly Hash Day, which this is so wild. I had this ice cream flavor over the weekend and it's fucking, it has like everything in it.
Oh, I thought it was another of these newfangled drugs that you
talking about. Not like when I was trying to make you do CB2 earlier. But it's also National Groundhog Day, Optimist Day, if you're an optimist, the first Thursday in February.
Oh, it's Groundhog Day?
Yeah, National Tater Tot Day.
Okay, Groundhog Day. How about that? Always sneaks up on my ass, you know?
Yeah.
And every year I'm like, not this time, I'm going to have all of my Groundhog Day plans ready to go and fucked it up again.
All
guys.
My Phil pun based foods I'm making. I feel like when Groundhog Day came out, my interest in Groundhog Day was like, oh, it's Groundhog Day.
Peaked.
And then that shit, yeah. And then it fell off like 2 years later. And I was like, yeah, because also living in California, winter is a foreign concept. So,
yeah. Miles, we don't have a single dang Groundhog Day article in today's episode. We fucked up.
All right.
What are we going to do?
Look, there have been like something like 700 Punxsutawney pills or something. So that was the thing that always blew my mind.
Yeah, they just were killing those things.
Yeah.
Just,
like, what number are they even on?
They'd go through 5 per shot. They're just swapping them out. I don't know why I think that's funny. That's not funny. Be kind to animals. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jack O'Brien, baby, on the treetop. When the wind blows, this booty will drop. That is courtesy of my brain. Just that's what I was thinking this morning. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Yes, it's Miles Gray. I'm still an expecting father, but let me tell you something. I'm AKA my bong stronger than yesterday. Now that I change the water twice a day, this moldiness ain't killing me no more. My bong stronger. Woo! Okay, shout out to Britney Spears and Lockeroni on the Discord. That AKA will be very appropriate when you find out who our guest is.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, I am cleaning a bong twice a day.
Are you? Is that a new practice? I know that when we had when I lived with a bong as my like third roommate, that we were very negligent when it came to our upkeep, our water changes. We changed the water infrequently.
It's like what you tell your when you visit your grandparents and you tell them how you want your life to be going and pretend that's how it's going when it's the opposite. Yeah, I'm not cleaning that shit twice a day. In my mind, also, though, I want to get on that program.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a hilarious comedian, writer, podcaster, who you know from Lady to Lady. Mm-hmm. You know from Britney's Gram, where she helped start the Free Britney movement, and her new podcast, Babstinence, her year of not drinking. It's Babs Gram!
I was going to say, no one changes a bong water. Like, it doesn't help. It just stays bong water. It's not even going to help if you changed it.
Yeah, well, it helps you keep your shit clean and the flavor is nice. But yeah, I mean, that again, it's like Groundhog Day. Like, when I get a new bong, I'm like, I'm into it. I'm cleaning it. And then like 3 weeks later, I'm like, oh yeah, what happened to that old thing?
Groundhog Day. I feel like that is like the one holiday that's not, people aren't leaning into yet. Like, we didn't even know.
Until now.
Yeah, we've got to make it a thing.
Did you care about Groundhog's Day, Babs?
I think the movie's the only reason that anyone thinks about it, right?
Yeah. Wait, but where'd you grow up? Did you grow up somewhere with weather?
I grew up in Salt Lake City, so yeah, I guess for us it wasn't.
Did that matter?
No, it didn't matter. It was more like, it was like, will the Mormons allow people to have rites in their church? That was the decision each year. And then I was like, nope, we're going to go back.
Let's see what the groundhog says. It's a no. It's a no.
Yeah.
And has your year of living without booze like been like a return to Salt Lake City? Because Salt Lake City is kind of a innovator in the teetotaling arts.
Well, I feel like Salt Lake's interesting because Salt Lake itself is very like, it's like less Mormon. I didn't grow up Mormon, but it's like more so like rebelling a lot of, it's a lot of like, it's an artistic community and stuff like that. So Salt Lake itself is like kind of boozy if you're going to go anywhere in Utah. But yeah, it does feel like a return to like, I didn't drink it till I was 21 or anything. Like I was very like this is when you drink, because right, it was not like normal, quote unquote, in my high school to drink, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is. It's been 6 months of not drinking. And it's been, interesting. Finally, I think I got over the hump. I went to New York and that was like horrible. And it was really hard. And then once I got past that, I was like, I feel like I can probably.
Yeah.
New York's got to be tough.
If it I sucks. Cannot yeah. drink here. Yeah. I was going to try to yeah. say New York, New York. If I can stay sober here,
if
I can stay
can
sober.
If you cannot drink here, you cannot drink anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's. Yeah. Have you had any dirty sodas since you stopped drinking?
Oh, yeah. Those dirty sodas. I did. I tried Pilk, I will say. I don't know if you saw.
How was it? Yeah, yeah, of course. What do you think this is?
Of course, you guys talked about
podcast
Pilk.
That covers non-bullshit?
Come on.
It was okay, actually. I think the thing is you have to have more Pepsi than milk because if it's not sweet enough, then you're in trouble.
Right.
Yeah.
Just a dusting of Pepsi with your milk.
You got to go ratio more Pepsi.
Yeah, okay. Good call. Yeah.
All right, Babs, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. I think we have a theme today that is that we live in the dystopian future of 80s movies. It's just so dumb.
Yeah.
It's so much dumber than, like, people are always like, oh, we live in The Running Man. We live in fucking...
Some other dystopian.
We live in RoboCop. We live in a world that is dumber than RoboCop.
Well, and RoboCop, The Running Man.
Yes. So we'll talk about that. Dr. Phil's terrible show is ending, kind of, not really. And also, Dr. Phil has like a media empire that I didn't know about.
You don't fuck with Bull?
I can't believe Bull is based on Dr. Phil, like a version of Dr. Phil that he was like telling people was mm-hmm. like, yeah, that's what I used to be, a human lie detector test.
mm-hmm.
And
you know how even the mechanical ones are totally unreliable.
Right.
Imagine but me not with me. My biases.
Yeah. But before we get to any of that shit, Babs, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Oh, my God. You know what I searched yesterday was like a focus app for Mac where you can like block certain websites.
Yeah.
Because I'm addicted to this is so embarrassing because I was making fun of people playing fantasy football, but I'm addicted to playing Risk online.
mm-hmm.
I know.
Fuck yeah.
I feel like this says if you want to know about me, that says a lot. So I can't stop playing this game. And I have to like literally block it because I am playing it all the time and it's bad.
Yeah.
And everyone who plays with me thinks I'm a man.
Oh, like when you're playing, like the chat.
Yeah,
because
you can chat and like, oh, we'll win a game. You can play with teams and we'll win a game. And like yesterday we won a game. And the guy's like, good job, gentlemen.
You're like, me, Babs, over here.
And I'm always just laughing like, who the fuck am I? I'm playing with these like people who I never want to talk to. But anyway. Yeah, I have to get a focus app, so I can't play it. So it's very, it's bad.
Because you're not, because can you play it on your phone? Isn't there like a phone version too?
You can. There's a phone version, Dominion, but the one I'm playing online is like a little bit different.
Or
it's
Domination. Yeah. Okay, got
a little more nuanced, Miles. A little more complicated.
It's not
it
for like babies.
It looks like the nerdiest thing you've ever seen in your life, like when you actually see it.
Right. You're like, I'm Napoleon.
Is there any overall strategy you bring to Risk? Like any...
Oh yeah, like
nation you favor that you think is underrated, or is this just?
Well, it's like I think you have to be. The problem with me is I'm not patient, so I'll just get annoyed and start like attacking people, you know, because I want to. And so I think patience is probably the best thing you can have. But
right,
a lot of that.
Is there like when you play online with people? Is there ever like a thing where you know like they're exposing themselves as like being shit at the game or like someone you don't like playing with when they move a certain?
Yeah,
way, like...
you can tell. It's funny because when I started, people would get mad at me a lot, and I didn't know why. And now that I'm playing more, I'm like, oh, I see.
Right.
Because you can surrender if you can tell you're losing. And if you don't, if people are like, what the fuck are you doing? Just surrender. They get mad.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like playing blackjack and they're like, why are you hitting on 17?
Exactly.
When
you're like, why the fuck are you still going? Just stop. And so it's funny because
like,
people
know.
Will get
fun.
Really pissed at you for, you know, fucking around.
Fucking up the game of Risk.
It's really embarrassing, but that's,
I mean,
you know?
Look. Wait, did you, like, is this like a Latter-day Saints? I'm sorry that it was just rolling into that, but like a newfound interest for you in life? Or were you into Risk as a kid?
And I mean, I played it with my friends a little bit, but not like that much. I honestly, I think it's like the not drinking thing. Like, I was just like, you know, I'm like, I have to spend my time to find something else to do. And I found the easiest possible thing.
Yeah.
It's one of the more, it's definitely the healthier, but way less cool way that you can be addicted to Risk, I feel like. I'm addicted to Risk, you know what I'm saying? I just like to live my life on
risk
the edge.
Risk aversion.
Risk aversion, not this guy. I'm a real badass. And then you're just playing Risk on your computer all night.
I think it was way cooler when Babs just kept trying to push like those Bored Ape NFTs on us.
I'm sure my friends preferred it if I was getting drunk instead of talking about this game.
Well, you know.
Well, then they're not your friends, Babs.
That's
okay?
So true.
Don't listen to them. They don't care about you.
That's right. What is something you think is overrated?
Honestly, I feel like the Knives Out movies are overrated. I'm not feeling it. I really didn't like the first one that much. The second one was better, but like I can't do the accent, the Daniel Craig's accent. I'm over it.
Okay. I feel like we're at a point where it's been brought down to a level of being rated appropriately, but it took some work.
I guess I just feel like everyone was kind of freaking out about this last one, and especially the first one, everyone like kind of. And I just don't, I guess the mystery's not good enough for me.
Everyone really liked the first one. I feel like it was really hot and cold on the second one. A lot of people hated the second one.
Oh, they did? I feel like I saw a lot of people like loving it, so.
And I liked it, so. And I felt stupid for liking it.
Don't! Like who cares?
Like. Yeah, don't give a shit. No one gives a shit what you think, Jack.
Great shame. Yeah. But I've done a lot of work in therapy, and I'm coming out and saying,
I liked Glass Onion.
I liked Glass Onion and Knives Out Murder Mystery.
That's brave. That's very brave.
I guess I just know. It's like, I guess I'm just like, okay, fine. This is going to be something they're making forever now, I guess. We're at least going to see one more of these, if not.
Oh, is that what they, a lot more. I didn't even see the, I fell asleep on a plane watching the first one.
There's going to be more. That's all I can tell you.
Am I missing something? Because I feel like everybody was so, like, turned up for Glass Onion at the end of the last year.
That's what I mean. I don't know. Everyone's, like, obsessed with it.
Around people I knew, yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. I think, I guess it's just one of those things, like, hey, did you see it? Like, I was at a Christmas party, and, like, everybody was like, did you go see it? Oh, yeah,
I think it's just that there's so many things that are murder mysteries now, so many TV shows, and, like, it's I feel like that part of it is hard to pull off, to be really, like, intriguing and really, like, surprise me. So I think that part, I'm like, it's going to be, that's tough to kind of make interesting. And that's kind of what I don't like about it.
Got it. What's something you think is underrated?
My cats are underrated, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your cats called?
Cindy and Archie. They're sitting right here. They're cool.
Oh, Cindy and Archie.
I just want to shout out to them.
How long you had them?
A few years. Cindy's younger than Archie. He's a big boy.
Oh, okay. How many cans are we on?
How many cans?
My friend Kat sat for a cat that had 2 full cans of cat food per meal. So ate 4 cans of cat food per day.
Holy shit. No, we don't give him that much.
Yeah. And this cat was like an abomination. I remember being like, this is fucking abuse. Like,
yeah, that's like, if they're, sometimes it's like, what are you doing? This is like not good for the cat.
But they're like, well, they just like to eat that much. And I'm like,
you are in charge of the giving of the food.
And they like, the cat was like declawed too. So like when it was like hungry, it was just like bat the door, like in this like very percussive way, but there were no claws. I'm like, this is like, has torture just spelled all
over
it.
Oh no. There's nothing worse than like being around people who are kind of like not treating their pets well.
Or like, yeah,
there's nothing worse than that. There's nothing worse.
The worst thing on earth, thank you, is someone who buys a dog from a puppy mill. Next.
Anyway,
case.
Yeah, just shout out to them. They're cool. They support me.
Are they named for anything in particular?
Cindy's named after Cindy Crawford because she has a little mole there. Amazing. And she's a little model.
Okay.
And Archie's a redhead, so I named him after Archie Comics.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm a little weird. My first crush was Cindy Crawford because I'm a freak. Okay.
Whoa, that's
I got weird.
Because I'm a real alternative taste.
I Mr. thought Alt. She was very pretty.
And that was before the Pepsi.
Sicko
was
it, mode.
Is she Pepsi
over
or
here.
Diet Coke? She was
Pepsi.
Diet Coke.
Pepsi. She's Pepsi. All the
she was. Was she Pepsi? Wait, just she straight up, like she was claiming she drank full.
I don't
sugar
know if she was
Pepsi
or Diet Pepsi, but she was definitely Pepsi.
Wow.
Oh yeah, man. Yep. I was definitely alt too, Jack.
Hot.
I was alt AF in 1992 when this came out.
Oh yeah. Oh, the cutoff sick. Shorts.
Yeah.
Wow. She's drinking a soda by a convertible.
Full sugar Pepsi.
Full sugar Pepsi. She didn't had a spit bucket right next to her.
not my queen Cindy. She downed every single can, every take.
That was what a time when people drank Pepsi, you know.
What do you mean?
It's so gross.
I drank Pepsi when I was like 8. I was like, I remember coming back from like a baseball practice, you know, it was like the summer and I was so thirsty. And instead of drinking water, I just drank like 3 cans of Pepsi.
Yeah.
People do drink that when they're just thirsty. Like I find myself doing that sometimes and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? I should not.
Get very from me. I mean the fact that I remember it, like have a sense memory of it, you know, it works.
Was
it's
it your brand loyalty
enjoyable.
Too?
You know it's more even stupider.
Lit up,
so
I think it lit up all the like cocaine sensors in my brain, right. Probably. You know?
I did like when the Bloods and Crips, like real, like, you know, gang war was real serious in LA, I was like at the time I was always looking at my clothes as a kid, even though I wasn't living near that shit. But I was like, oh, what do I
You're
what
like
color do I like
trying
more?
To see.
And in my mind I'm like, I'm a Crip. I'm like, I like blue. So then when Pepsi when Pepsi came out in the blue can, I was all over that shit
because
I was
God.
Like, miss me with that fucking red can, even though there was like a little bit of red on the Pepsi can. I don't know why. And like that was driving my subconscious push towards Pepsi as a kid. And then very quickly, I was like, this is.
Whoa, that's fascinating.
Yeah. Just, I was just remembering that right now because in this picture of Cindy Crawford, it's like the old school red can with like the blue and red on it. But then in my mind, I was like, no, I was downing those blue cans. I remember like a fucking fiend.
Yeah.
And it was all because of my perceived allegiances during a gang war. I
hope
that,
yeah, I hope.
Fake allegiances.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think it was just more fashionable. I was like, well, I guess Snoop is and Schoolboy Q. All my favorite rappers are.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about some dystopian shit.
Oh, God.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
And we're back. And the Massachusetts Democrats have come up with a cool way for prisoners to be released that is not dystopian or weird at all.
No. Come on. I mean, you know, I just want to say this. You're going to know it's getting weird because the first thing I'm starting off with is currently, the laws around organ donation specific to incarcerated peoples is as follows. The Federal Bureau of Prisons says that prisoners may donate their organs while incarcerated, but only to immediate family members. In 2013, the state of Utah allowed organ donation from prisoners who died while being incarcerated. Most other states do not allow organ donations from prisoners at all.
Huh.
Enter the Massachusetts Democrats of their state legislature. They have just introduced a bill with 5 co-sponsors that want to make this little change here. It says, quote, "The bone marrow and organ donation program shall allow eligible incarcerated individuals to gain not less than 60 and not more than a 365-day reduction in the length of their committed sentence in prison, on the condition that the incarcerated individual has donated bone marrow or organs."
That's so just treating the prison system
as an
organ farm.
Wait, how many organs can you give without that, like, you can actually give while you're still alive?
Lot. Well, if you die, too, I mean, like, a lot can be, I mean. Well,
but that's what I'm saying. If they're making your sentence less, you have to obviously live, so.
Yeah, bone marrow, you could probably, you know, you can.
Bone marrow.
And then, like, a kidney. You got,
yeah,
you
so go. Like there's not that many. I'm just saying there's not
right.
that
you much. Can't give a heart, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Yeah.
One eyeball, I don't know.
But that's the yeah. thing. It's like so wild, right? Because it's essentially like, hey, disenfranchised person, now that you're here as a result of, you know, improper legal counsel, want to knock a couple months off your sentence by giving us your bone juice?
Give us your bones. Just let us I tap want in. Them bones.
Get like, into what the bone fuck? Juice line.
And so like when the, you know, when people were asking the legislators who wrote this bill, why? They're pointing to the disparity in availability for BIPOC patients in need of a bone marrow or organ transplant. So and that's the justification that they're giving for something like many people say this program is on its face legally dubious and unethical as fuck.
Right.
But like Democrats don't even have the fucking imagination to think of a solution beyond take the prisoners' right. bodies. Like if there's a disparity and a lack of like access, address that.
Right. Yeah, but the fact that your first thought when you hear that there is a like disparity or like a lack of availability for BIPOC patients is like, well, you know where there are a lot of BIPOC people
right,
is
exactly. in prison.
And, you know, they're like, and you know what? They're probably pretty motivated to give up some of that sweet, sweet organ meat. And like one of the legislators, he actually said that he was thinking of his friend who was like in need of a kidney.
Wow.
And couldn't get it and was having to go through dialysis. And like that was this guy's light bulb moment.
Wow.
I do want to see this like Freaky Friday movie though, where they give the guy this kidney and then he like starts living the life of the guy who's in jail and has to, right. you know.
Like, yeah. body swap.
Yeah, yeah what body happened? Swap. Kidney but, like, swap.
Yeah, it's just so wild that for these people, they're like, well, coercion is better, is basically easier than tackling a systemic issue.
Right.
Like, we'll just give it to coercion.
What it comes down to.
Yeah, it's just such a painfully, like, obvious depiction on how, like, even Democrats, like, how their thinking works when they're trying to make the country a better place or more equitable, which is like, well, these people, like, are fucking, like, they're in jail, man.
Yeah,
give them an organ coupon so they can leave early. That it's just so fucked up.
That is, that, like you said, it's so dystopian.
Yeah, it should just be we need to address this disparity. Like we have terrible health outcomes. Maybe go after why people are in need of like increased treatments and things like that, rather than where there's some brown bodies lying around yeah. that have like ticking Jesus hearts. Fuck. Yeah, it's... so.
Anyway, it's that, yeah, it's the technocrat like version of things. Like there's always going to be a smart solution. We're smart and we'll just use our smarts to smart up a solution that takes a little resource from here and puts a resource there without like addressing the overall systemic inequality that's happening. Yeah. That's made things so fucked.
Also, why aren't people allowed to donate their organs? Like, if they're incarcerated, it's such a weird in the right. first place. If you were like on your card when you know, if you die, you're like, I want my organs donated. They're not even allowed to say yes to that.
I think it probably is to prevent something like this, where because they are human beings who have very little rights, right?
Yeah.
They, and like by definition, have very little rights. Like they could easily be taken advantage of.
Right.
And so I'm assuming they have the law in place to be like, and we recognize that.
Well, it's also illegal. That's the thing, is that you can't, there's no, like the Organ Transplant Act makes it a crime to, quote, knowingly acquire, receive, or otherwise transfer any human organ for valuable consideration for use right. in human transplantation. So like that's why it gets a little murky when you deal with incarcerated people and like what they are consenting to or not.
Right, of course.
And then other people point to also like just the health disparities that are in prison populations, like people dealing with like hepatitis or like HIV AIDS and things like that. Like there's also issues within the prison system where people aren't getting proper treatment for just in general, like being healthy.
And that's like their con in the pros and cons is like, yeah, but they have diseases, so never mind. Instead right. of like, they shouldn't have diseases, guys. This is a fucking
another
disaster.
Reason why it's like, they're not taking care of the root problem, and it, this makes no sense.
Yeah. It's just like, I mean, and the other thing too is like, you know, suppose someone is so desperate, right, to like get out to like be free.
Right.
They give up an organ that a relative may have needed down the road. And right. they're like, I fucking gave mine up because they fuck. You know what I mean? Like just this is so, it's just so fucking complicated, but also just so immoral. And like the idea that to like even try and evoke like this lack of access to make this like a reasonable or rational thing to suggest just fucking blows my mind when it could just be, oh, there's a problem with equity and access for BIPOC people in the medical space because we've known about this forever. But
right.
they're also we've also known about like this, you know, trend, not trend, but tradition of experimenting on black and brown bodies in this country, especially in like people that are incarcerated or otherwise.
Yeah.
So absolutely. This is like, there's nothing about this that is like a departure from like America's worst habits or like impulses or instincts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The most like neo-lib brain thing I heard prior to this was Matt Iglesias. Did you see like in response to the Tyre Nichols video was like, we should do a Police for America program where we have like students from the best universities volunteer to be parts of the police force like we did for Teach for America, like that we fix the problem by like just Harvarding up the police force a little bit is just like these motherfuckers. It's yeah, I don't yeah. know.
It's, there's no yeah,
it's well, impossible.
No, well, because no one's willing to admit it's a failure.
Right.
You yeah. know, that's if you can, right. then you can start over. But if yeah. policing isn't a failure, if the carceral system isn't a failure, then it's all about amending it. It's all about yeah.
finding ways to use it.
Yeah. Rather than being like, parts. Yo, this shit is a fucking shining L in our faces.
Yeah.
And it's a failure. And we talked the other day about just how little crimes police are even able to solve. But like, we still live under this presumption that like, that's what they're there for, to right. keep us safe. And rather than being like, no, the statistics to me seem like this is a failure. Like this way of trying to, you know, keep people safe is an actual failure. But we're not, you know, there's not a critical mass
right.
of people.
Like you said, a shining L. I feel like that's what they should see. Like that should just be
yeah.
placed on everyone's like doorstep that keeps thinking this is going like the system we should use.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
an actual shining L to be like,
it's an L. We lost.
We fucked up. Let's start over.
You don't have to be like mad at the police, but just admit that this shit is a failure. We got to move on. Put that energy now into whatever this, you know, a better way to support people is.
Yeah.
Because brute squad ain't it.
Well, we got to always just really pay attention and savor each shining L that comes from the carceral system because they're few and far between. Oh, wait, here goes another one.
Oh,
Florida's Wheel of Fugitive.
Oh, my God.
A Florida sheriff is being sued for defamation to the tune of $50,000 by a man who was featured on Wheel of Fugitive.
What is
if
what
you're
the
wondering
fuck?
What the fuck the Wheel of Fugitive is? It's the worst game show that you could imagine. It's Brevard County Police Department Sheriff Wayne Ivey spins a wheel depicting mugshots of supposedly wanted criminals. The winner is then urged to do the right thing and turn themselves in, or else the viewing public will take matters into their own hands. And this sheriff, by the way, is also like a big fan of like arming citizens and people like doing citizens arrests and shit, which are, by the way, legal in Florida, citizens arrests.
Oh, my God.
Here, we're going to play a little clip of.
Wheel
of Fugitive.
This is dystopian. This is not real.
I can't go on. Oh, my God. All right.
Look at this. Pizza.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sheriff Wayne Ivey of the Brevard County Sheriff's Office. And welcome to Wheel of Fugitive.
You know, I love they have the runner. Everyone's considered innocent until proven.
I know. At the lower third, like running a Chiron that's like your fucking rights. That's so.
Subjects
that's
identified
shit.
And discussed in this. Are they going to be like, all right.
Just running a scroll at the bottom. It's like, yeah, anything.
Disclaimer, yeah. None of these people are guilty.
Innocent until proven guilty. Yeah, the right to remain silent. Anything you say in canon, we'll be using against you. Like, what the fuck? My rights are now coming in the form of a lower third.
Victimize anybody else. Let's see who our fugitive of the week is here in Brevard County.
What
this is so insane.
Fuck. speed up the wheel, will you? This is like, I feel like I'm at a church carnival right now.
Yeah.
All right, folks. It is our fugitive of the week.
Sassy. Season was
white female, date of birth 12/5.
This shit is fucking what? Then they just show this person's face, their date of birth, all this other shit.
Unbelievable.
It's so insane. Because also, what does it have to do with Wheel of Fortune? It's just a
exactly.
You're not like.
Are you buying a letter?
Yeah, you're not doing anything. They're just spinning a fucking wheel.
It's just wordplay.
And then they're just saying, here are all the people. By the way, here's everyone's names. But this specific person, you should arrest if you see them on the street. You should approach this person. Like, this is so insane. I can't believe this is real.
Yeah. So the little disclaimer at the bottom is like, hey, we're not saying they're guilty. We're just saying that they are wanted at the time of this that this was
this wheel spinning
filmed. Except that's not even true. Like, so this person basically sued him because at the time that they recorded it, he was already in prison. And then he goes on this viral video that this motherfucker is making and like can't get a job. Like, he got let go of by his job because somebody saw him on this like video that this motherfucker
put on the
internet. Yeah,
it was like on the way to his first day of work and he gets a call saying,
well, yeah,
sorry, saw you on this. Like, that's so insanely fucked up.
On the wheel of fugitive. Yeah. This guy is real piece of work. He routinely urged the public to arm themselves should terrorists invade Orlando, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Bragging that he's one of the most politically incorrect sheriffs in the country.
Oh, okay.
Blamed the victims of the Pulse nightclub shooting for not fighting back hard enough against their attacker.
What?
And, yeah, is now urging random people on the street to scour the street for so-called fugitives. Because, again, in Florida, you can citizens arrest someone, which is, you know.
So he's like, so he was probably salty when, like, Sheriff Joe Arpaio was getting all the fucking oxygen in Arizona.
Yeah.
Like,
or
in
he was inspired
County.
By him. He
right.
Was like, that's, like, who I'm
gonna be. That's how I'm going to do it better, by having a complete, just debase myself at every opportunity and show that I have no soul whatsoever.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so that's the person running that sheriff's department. Okay,
but I think like putting their picture on the wheel and just like spinning it is also like it plays into the cruelty of it all. Like, it's like debasing to just have these like embarrassing mugshots on there, like people at their lowest moment, and then just like spinning them around, like toying with their fate and their lives in a way that, you know, it's just, it is dumber and more evil than the society in RoboCop. It's right. Truly just so extreme.
Yeah.
And by the way, A&E was in talks with this motherfucker to bring Wheel of Fugitive to national television at some point.
Wasn't A&E doing like Cops Live and shit too?
Probably.
Like that they had to take down. Yeah, Live PD. Live PD was on A&E.
And also, like, at the beginning of this Wheel of Fugitive thing, they show each person individually. So it's like they're still telling them to go after everybody. You know what I mean? Because since they can do citizens arrest.
Yeah, they're on there. They're on
there. Yeah, they're
the
all on there. They say everyone's full name. They show their picture. So they make sure to show you every single person on there before they're like, oh, this is who we're going to zero in on. But it's obvious that they're just like,
or screenshot screenshot this Facebook video and you can look at all of them.
Exactly.
If you so please.
Yeah.
What would this TV show even be? I guess, it doesn't matter. I guess there are TV
better
shows called
higher production value. Babs, we saw it. The guy's on a shitty green screen. The wheel could be digital or something. We could do more augmented reality stuff, an AR kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think that's all it would do is just bring more fucking shine.
Yeah.
Like pizzazz.
They would have that. Like, remember when CNN had the hologram, like holographic, like versions of the people for like the 2016 election? Like, they would just have like the mugshot rendered in 3D and like you were like in studio with
it. I was just imagining, and also the people on the show would be like, who are the worst people you can think of that want to be on a reality TV show? Now let's have them go out and arrest people.
Throw them out there. And then we get footage of like people just going out and trying to make a name.
That's what
for
it would
themselves.
Be, right? Like, it would definitely just be citizens like hunting people down. Fun. Super fun.
Doing their best Tommy Lee Jones impression.
Right.
feel like I'm ready for
this. 2021 analysis of nearly a year's worth of episodes of Wheel of Fugitive found that nearly one third of the 448 people featured in those episodes were not fugitives.
Wow. So
just like, I mean, it's like the local news, just a video designed to make society around you seem scarier than it actually is and make it seem like you're like surrounded, but they couldn't even like fill out a wheel with enough fugitives,
right?
To there weren't enough fugitives for them to do it. So
that's on the production team,
yeah,
for having, you know, making less options on the wheel to,
yeah, you gotta make
to
different wheel sizes,
yeah, for the number of menu options for people you can pick off because they're fugitives.
right.
Wow. Well, it's the A&E version would probably be fucking demonic.
Like, sure.
We have full 3D renderings of people on an actual wheel, and then he throws a knife, and the one that it hits on the hologram board is the one that's selected.
Right.
I hope this guy wins this lawsuit. This fucking.
This, yeah. I mean, the other thing is that, like, they're going. I think the probably conscious gamble they're making is that the people they're slandering will never be able to stand up for themselves. And
Like jokes about the Amish kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. They, you know, and in most cases, like one third of 448, I'm not great at math, but that's over 100.
Yep. Nailed it.
Yeah. People, you know, didn't catch that, like, this had happened to them, or that it was like secretly out there, like ruining their job prospects. But what one person did, but, you know, it was probably a pretty safe gamble on his part.
You know, that those budgets could be going to something else.
Yeah.
You know, than buying the sheriff a fucking AV setup so he could do green screen graphics.
I got this crazy idea, man. Yeah. you ever seen Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't. Okay. But I figure there's got to be something where you spin a wheel.
Wait,
right?
Take out all the words. Okay, no words. Yeah,
no words. Fuck
yeah,
spelling.
Has nothing
fuck
to do with
spelling.
Wheel of Fortune.
Fuck spelling at all, because I can't even spell the fucking, I can't even spell fugitive right. Fucking hell, man.
Wheel of the Fugitive.
That fucking sound, like, they had to record that.
Yeah, they have multiple people in a space yelling out Wheel of Fugitive.
I can already just see it. Like, it's like the We Are the World video.
Right.
There's a lot of these fucking backwards people who are like so in this, like, Wheel of Fugitive. Was that good, Phil? All right.
And Ivy, like, comes in and he's like, no, again.
It's like the Quincy Jones of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to hear your teeth gnashing.
Yeah. So, true piece of shit. Let's take a quick
and
break.
A very real thing.
True piece of shit and a very real thing. We'll be right back with more pieces of shit.
Oh, for breakfast.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
And we're back. And Dr. Phil.
Oh my God.
Oh, Dr. Phil.
Also,
I like we just started with an exasperated mention of it and we all just kind of let that say, like, yeah, fucking Dr. Phil.
comparison of Tommy Lee Jones and how cool he is in the movie The Fugitive and how open he is to like what. Like, what, you know, the truth wrong. And like being wrong and just that compared to the real cops that we have.
Well, again, that's America. How we were like told cops were.
Yeah. This is the reality.
They're thoughtful.
Guys.
If they had to kill a guy, it's because they thought about it deeply. It's part of their character arc.
Right.
Yeah. They didn't arrive at this moment lightly.
He says he doesn't care if he killed his wife, but he actually does. And that's what's cool about him. All right, Dr. Phil. Who, as we've mentioned before, is not a licensed psychologist, is ending his show in which he's acted as if he's a licensed psychologist for 21 seasons. So, you know, breathe a sigh of relief, except it's not really ending. Reruns are going to be syndicated with new wraparound material filmed with Dr. Phil through at least the 2023-2024 season. I'm surprised they even like break this show into seasons.
Yeah, like ours.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm surprised he's not just like, this is, I guess, let's call it a season.
Yeah.
But yeah, he also hosts 2 podcasts, is the producer of several other TV shows, and is now hinting at a new TV endeavor that will allow him to engage with a broader audience, because I have grave concerns for the American family.
Oh my God. This guy is such a fucking creep. Like, I used to, when it came out, I loved the show because I had no empathy and I had no lived experience. Right. And I liked a show where I could laugh at people who were down and out.
Yeah.
And Dr. Phil would be like, what now? Like, you're addicted to drugs because of your tormented childhood? Now I live in the real world, son. And you're like, and people are like, yeah! And I'm like, exactly. And it's like such a fucked up way to even portray like what help is or what a fucking therapy or a psychologist or any of that shit is, because at the end of the day, you go and they point at you and laugh, like, is really what it, and, or they gawk at you.
I can't believe he's still on. Like, how... I didn't even know he was still on the air. How's this still going?
Yeah.
God, I wonder if there are people who are like, I don't want to try therapy. I've seen Dr. Phil.
I've never missed an episode.
I know how that shit goes. Like, I'm going to be just berated by a studio.
You'd be surprised how many people come on the show and they say, Dr. Phil, I know what you're going to say. I watch the show all the time. I'm enabling my child.
Right.
Like, and they're like, and I know that. And then they're like, well, then what are you doing? But there are people, you know, because they even tell Dr. Phil, they're like, my life's in shambles. I watch your show every day and I can say these buzzwords and I still can't get anything out of value from it.
Yeah.
He's right. So he's like, all right, well, let me tell you in person, I live in the real world. I love that. Yeah. This is the real world.
There was like a really fucked up episode that a lot of people were commenting on where there's this young woman who like, was obsessed with this makeup artist on Instagram that she never met and was like insisting that like they were in a relationship when they weren't. And when she comes on the show, like Dr. Phil is like, just talks down to her the whole time. And she had like a lot of trauma in her past. And he like lists it all like on a fucking graphic. And you're like, dude, this is really like to even write this shit out is like feels very fucked up. And then And then he'll do stuff where she'll be like, well, I don't want my mom, my birth mother here. Like, we have no context for why she wouldn't want the birth mother. It's like, well, this is my show. So do you want to go? And she's like, no, Dr. Phil, I'm sorry. He's like, that's what I thought. Because I decide who's on my show. And you're like, what? You're not even helping this person.
You like, don't live in the real world, motherfucker. You live in like the weirdest little microcosm where you are like the god emperor who gets to determine everything and just like pass judgment on people in a way that does not exist anywhere else.
No.
Like you are a sick fuck.
No, you're like an uber rich person who comes down out of their little tower to get
grossed
out.
Yeah,
just yell at people in your studio.
And you're like, oh, what's wrong with you fucking creeps, man? I gotta go in my Bentley helicopter. Goodbye. Like, he really did. I have this weird, I'll check in with a Dr. Phil episode every now and then, because like on YouTube, it'll have like the most salacious hook where you're like, this is not offering humanity to the subject of this episode at all. And right. It's like, you know, it's like, it's wild to me. So I'll look, there was this one like elderly woman who was like a terrible, like a nightmarish grandma, basically, or mother-in-law. And come to find out, like, he pulls out all these terrible things that have happened to this woman. And then they get to the end of the episode and you think he's going to offer her some kind of insight and goes, hey, so you know what? This is my suggestion for you. Is that you start going to therapy. You know why? Because you got a lot of stuff messed up right now. And it's like, and that's going to do it for, and that's going to do it this week for us, folks. Check us out on facebook.com/Dr. Phil. Like, that's the end of an episode. And you're like, this has no fucking value.
I mean, to be fair, I hope he's doing that to everyone who comes on the show.
Right.
Yeah, he does.
They don't
but
need
like,
him.
No, exactly. But it's just so weird when like, even as an audience
member. Have you tried therapy?
He's like, I'm going to suggest you go because you're pretty messed up. And you're like, that's not a thing to say to someone who needs therapy, who's like you've assessed that needs help and go, yeah, because you're pretty fucked up. And that's me. That's Dr. Phil. All right, folks, the applause lights on. I hope this didn't mess anything up for you.
I feel like all of his power lies in his mustache. I feel like if we could get the mustache, he would be bereft.
He would not. He would look strange. I mean, that mustache is conspicuous and precisely where it
needs like
to be
all of
to hold
secrets.
His face together.
Oh, my God. No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He did drop.
He looks like Rudy Giuliani's like bully brother without a mustache in this picture.
Yeah. Ugh. His face just kind of. Yeah. I don't like it. I will not allow
justice.
It. But okay, so he's also the creator and producer of multiple scripted dramas, including Bull.
Bull on? What was that? I feel like I heard of it.
It had to have been on CBS, right? Because I'd imagine like he's like just has
yeah, that's right. It was CBS.
With, like, CBS.
It was like an CBS nighttime scripted series.
Okay,
I remember there was like all sorts of problematic shit with like how the star was treating women co-stars, but it was a drama, so I didn't quite get like what it was. All it was like, Bull is like takes no crap from anyone. He's just so like he's like a human lie detector who tells it like it is, and that is supposed to be inspired by the early career of Dr. Phil McGraw.
Yeah.
But he's it's a trial consulting firm.
Yeah, so, he like consults with lawyers to be like, I'll tell you how it is.
He's like the trial science guy's like, you want a jury who thinks like this, who thinks these people aren't even human. That's how you get your client off. Like, it's that kind of stuff. Like, you know, trial science. There's this interview where like people are asking him, the way he pats his fucking self on the back is absurd. Like, he was talking about the show at like a Critics Choice or something panel, and he said the show was never, he said, quote, it's not autobiographical, it's just inspired by me. And then he goes on to say, I like the way the show tracks how we did the right thing and tried to take the higher moral ground in these cases. We kept the moral compass. Sometimes the law doesn't always get it right. And I'm so you're the person there to
so
right
you
the
are
wrongs?
The person. Turns out.
Yeah, so it turns out you're like, and that's me. The guy who knew more than the legal system. Shout out.
Bull stars Michael Weatherly as Dr. Jason Bull, A+ on the name, in a drama inspired by the early career of Dr. Phil McGraw, the founder of one of the most prolific trial consulting firms of all time. Brilliant, brash, and charming. Dr. Bull is the ultimate puppet master as he combines psychology, human intuition, and high-tech data to learn what makes jurors, attorneys, witnesses, and the accused tick.
Mm.
I mean, that guy seems like the ultimate puppet master.
Kind of. Oh, yeah. I mean, have you heard about his onset behavior?
Is he a monster? Dude. Oh, yeah, yeah. Michael Weatherly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He was like, because I think this was when Eliza Dushku was on the show and he was like, this guy's making lewd comments and shit. And then she settled with CBS for like $9.5 million when he's
he was like part of the investigation into CBS, which.
So cool. So that guy's playing Dr. Phil's parallel, you know, analogous character. But yeah.
And then he also produces the show The Doctors, which I wasn't aware of, but I think it's like a daytime sort of chat show.
It's basically like an offshoot of his.
Yeah.
Dr. Phil.
With real doctors. He was like, what if the doctor show had real doctors?
Instead of me. Not
I will say people. Dr. Phil also made an appearance back in the day when Britney was put into her conservatorship. He showed up to the hospital that weekend.
What's your take on him during that period? Was he like, do you think he was being opportunistic? Probably.
Apparently right? He was like friends with the parents and that's why he
that
showed
makes
up.
Sense.
Oh,
that
yeah, makes which makes sense. A lot of sense.
Patron, because the way he, because you look at the way he treats younger people who are like struggling mentally, it's always this patronizing boomer shit, which is like, well, here's the deal, son. I got bills to pay, so I pay them. I don't care if I was in the Iraq war. Like, you're like, what? It's just like, what the fuck is this? Like, it's not even advice, but it's just so dismissive of everything, which makes that completely tracks now, because they're probably looking for somebody who would like confirm that, like, their worst urges are the correct ones.
We just need to imprison her, right?
Yeah. Exactly. That's basically what was going on, yeah.
I can get you lithium if you want.
You need lithium. I'll get you lithium.
What?
I have half my fortune tied up in those teenage camps where you kidnap your own child and send them to a wilderness camp and try and break down their personality. That's where most of my money is tied.
Whatever you need. I got laudanum, too. I know they don't really make that. No, I got a lot of laudanum.
He's just a drug dealer. He's also the producer of that show, The Doctors, which was recently levied with a human rights complaint alleging race discrimination, sexual harassment, and retaliation behind the scenes. God. Yeah. The New York State Division of Human Rights and U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission received a complaint alleging race discrimination, sexual harassment, and retaliation. And like I said, basically somebody was fired for suggesting that the show needed more diversity among the staff and guests. And they were informed of their being released, or their agent was informed of their being released by McGraw's son, Jay McGraw, who owns the show and Los Angeles-based Stage 29 Productions.
All right.
So I bet that's a cool place to work.
Well, I live in the real world where it's all white people. So
and my son runs a studio that I bequeathed him based on made-up stories about when I was a magical man who could tell jurors who was lying. I live in the real world.
The real world.
Understand?
My son built this production company from the top down. I will not be here to hear his name slandered.
That's right.
I live in the real world.
I live in the real world.
He says that all the time. Great. It's fucking wild, man. There's some really good, like, cutting commentary videos on YouTube just pointing out, like, how at every turn,
what a piece of shit he is.
He makes the absolute world. Like, if you're actually trying to help someone or talk to them and not just make like salacious TV, he always picks those.
I feel like he just, to me, has ultimate dad energy. Maybe that's because my dad slightly looks like him, but just
that does.
Patronizing, like, for some reason people are just like, yeah, okay,
right,
you're telling me what to do. Well, I must do it.
I think it's really, what's really dark about it is that, like, he, because he's using like psychology speak and therapy speak,
right,
the presumption is that he's actually approaching this with some kind of empathy or caring, or
because he goes by Dr. Phil, exclusively.
And you get there, he'd be like, "Hey, shut the fuck up! You ain't arguing with me. Not on my fucking set. Not today, motherfucker. I'm Dr. Phil. You know the show don't stop for a hoe, okay?" Like, that's his energy with these people, and it's like, it's truly maddening when you, like, just kind of, you kind of see, like, these people go on, they're like, yeah, maybe this will help. And then at the end, it's just like, well, you're messed up in all these ways and you need a dog. And shout out to North Star Kennels, who are going to gift you your own
golden
retriever.
Actually, I'm down with this advice. You need a dog.
But yeah, the best is when you'll hear all this complex shit and he just ends it with, damn, you're pretty messed up. You need to go to therapy.
Oh my God.
North Star Kennels, owned by the McGraw family and run by teenage labor of teenagers we've kidnapped and put into scared straight wilderness cage.
Or what you do is, hey, is your teen acting up? We'll send them to my North Star teen camp where we'll get them right. But they're really just laborers for fucking puppy milk.
Yeah, that is a whole industry. But I don't know how much we talked about it on this show, but it's like if you have a kid that's acting bad, like parents will reach out and basically do what Britney Spears' parents did. Just like get it off your hands, kidnap them, take them away.
There's tons of those. There's like, you know, pregnancy equivalent ones too.
Yeah, right.
Jesus.
Yeah,
that wilderness camp, that is a huge industry. I remember that when I was growing up.
I feel like Dr. Phil's got to be involved in that.
Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah.
Because it is like just an extension of like, your kid doesn't need like help. He needs to be fucking screamed at while he's shivering cold on a mountainside.
Right. Exactly.
Like that's
tough love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. I can't break the cycle I've been subjected to as a child. So all I can, I'm not willing to even confront that. So the solution is to brutalize them.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, kids, they got it too easy. Okay.
Not for us in the real world where our parents had PTSD from World War II and didn't have it figured out.
Thank you. Babs, such a pleasure having you, as always. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
You can follow me at Babs Gray on Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff. And I'm out there. I'm going to be doing a lot of stand-up this year, so follow me and find me coming to your town, hopefully. Yeah.
Offer a dirty soda, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, Babstinence is my sobriety podcast. It comes out, every week, sort of. And Lady to Lady is my comedy podcast. Comes out every week on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Any surprises about abstinence or sobriety?
You know what sucks is my stand-up is a lot better.
Wow. In that, like, you're just so clear on stage and or,
yeah,
like,
I'm just, like,
too?
I'm very clear and, like, more, just sharper and all that stuff. So I feel like I'm more tuned in to the crowd.
What was your pre-stage regimen to like?
I think like in the last year, I kind of been having like a drink or two, or been like getting, you know, kind of like just buzz. Been getting loose before my sets, and
see
the difference.
Yeah, you take the stage kind of just like, yeah, I got something to say.
just kind of loosen up. But right. I was like getting too loose and just not being sharp. And now I can see a huge difference. And I'm like, oh, this is so annoying. I hate
like
how good this is for me.
Just like, I see everything now.
Yes, I know all. Yeah.
Is there a tweet or some other work of media that you've been enjoying? Social or otherwise?
I mean, I was just going to say The Last of Us.
Mm. Okay.
That's not really, that's, you know, a TV show.
Let's get into it.
I watched the whole video game, a video game I've never just watched before. I watched my boyfriend play it and it was very good. And I'm like excited to see the show, which I was not expecting.
Hey, you haven't watched it yet?
I watched like the first few episodes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Current.
It's great. Have you guys watched it?
I haven't.
I'm banking them because I really want my partner to watch, but like it's easier when a show like that we can just keep going.
No, it's definitely one of those. But it's great.
But
they're
it's also
a great
heavy
job.
I mean, I played the game too, and I'm like, based on everyone's like, I slightly read how people are talking about each week. I'm like, oh boy, it's a heavy lift.
I actually one of my tweets that I was gonna do was at Listen Up Nerds tweeted, "You will not get me to watch The Walking Dead for people who still do Wordle."
That's hilarious.
Shit. But I am gonna watch the shit out of that, actually.
Yeah,
I'm not over like zombie stuff yet, so I guess some people
I'll always have zombies in my heart.
Yeah,
you know, always.
Yeah, it's a problem, actually. That you should consult your doctor if you also have
whatever.
You cannot donate your organs if a zombie's
if a zombie
just so
is
you
in
know.
Your heart.
You'll see. We'll see. It'll be a Supreme Court case.
That's right.
Taking it all the way to the top.
Miles, where can people find you, and what is a tweet or work of media you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also find me on Miles and Jack on Mad Boosties. New episode just dropped, and also 420 Day Fiance. This might be my last episode before I go on parental leave. I think it's we're so close. It's like within the next 2 days we're expecting.
Oh, that's exciting. Congrats.
Yes. To say that I'm distracted is an understatement. But I still, you know, when I have the time, I'm coming back. But yeah. So thank you for everybody for all your well wishes and your wonderful DMs and tweets and comments and stuff. I feel very loved and supported as I go into this. So it means a lot. And please continue to listen to the show. I will be back and I will be daddy then. And my takes will be, who knows where
daddier.
I land. Could you come back? I come back. I'm so
even
conservative.
Daddier.
Even daddier. Yeah.
The Daily Zeitgeist now twice as daddier.
And I'm just like fully on some Dr. Phil shit. I'm like, Jack, I live in the real world. And we're not worried about stuff like systemic white supremacy. Because we got bills to pay. A tweet I like is from at Gallant Greg just tweeted, oh my God, I just got that TAR is short for conductar.
That's funny. In addition to the Last of Us tweet, I like to tweet from Lauren at Not a Big Jerk tweeted, what's a performance where the actor is so when he does the performance for that it's no one to do? I think that is the last one now. I think we're good. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
Okay, so let's you know, it's Black History Month, and I want to play this track, one of my, you know, favorite tracks from Eddie Kendricks when he, you know, he's on his solo shit, but left the Supremes, and it's called My People, Hold On. And if you know J Dilla, you know, he sampled this in Donuts on the track People, but the original track is just really dope, and a very, you know, got great energy. So put this in your ears. Eddie Kendrick, My People.
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. That's going to do it for us this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.